Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Hey, and we will begin on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, the first words. Tainuch Latana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Just to review, on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara had asked two questions. One question the Gemara asked was that the pasuk, the Gemara had quoted a pasuk of Aleho to teach us that even B'makom Mitzvah of Yibum, if the woman that falls to Yibum is an Erva, there is no din of Yibum, and it even applies to a Tzara. And as the Gemara said, that seems to mean that if we didn't have the Pasuk, there would be a Chiv of Yibum, even though there's a Chiv Karis. So even if we say throughout Shas, Eseh Doich Eloisa Seh, do we say Eseh Doich Eloisa Seh when there's a Loisa Seh that involves Karis? It seems that we do. And the Gemara wants to know what's the basis of saying something like that. And then the Gemara said, in general, how do we know the concept of Eseh Doich Eloisa Seh? So Gemara quoted a pasuk, two psukim, Gedil and Tasselcha. The pasuk discusses making tzitzis. And then the pasuk says, by Silva Shatnas, that you're not allowed to wear Shatnas. Why do these two psukim come together? To teach us that even though there's a Loisa Seh that you're not allowed to wear Shatnas, B'makom Mitzvah, you're allowed to wear Shatnas. And the Gemara says, that's the proof that we say Eseh Doich Eloisa Seh. Then the Gemara had a discussion that even if we say Eseh Doich Eloisa Seh, and we're learning it because the two psukim are near each other, which is called smuchim, we don't automatically learn smuchim unless the words in the pasuk are either mufna, superfluous, or muchach. It's obvious from the pasuk that the Torah put these two psukim here to teach us this thing. So the Gemara said, muchach it is, because why does the Torah put the pasuk of Gedil Tasselcha and say the Devarim? It should have been a Parsha Shlach that discusses all of the halachas of tzitzis. But mufna, is it extra? So the Gemara proved that according to Rabbi Shmuel, the pasuk has something extra in it. Because the pasuk says, Leisil B'Shatnes, Tzemer U'Pishtim Yachta. And as the Gemara went through saying in great length yesterday in Daftal Ramabay's shir, that Rabbi Shmuel says that every beged in the Torah means Tzemru Pishtim. So why do I have to say Tzemru Pishtim here? It's obvious that Shatnas refers to Tzemru Pishtim. It must be that Tzemru Pishtim extra, and that's all we can learn smuch. Points out the Gemara. Tainuch L'tanya D'Rabbi Shmuel. That works according to Rabbi Shmuel that the words Tzemru Pishtim are superfluous, the mufna, because I know that Shatnas only applies to Tzemru Pishtim, since the Torah says Begid, and Begid by Shatnas always means Tzemru Pishtim. However, the Rabbanon that don't have that approach of that Rabbi Shmuel holds, they don't hold it just because the Torah uses the word Begid, it automatically means Tzemru Pishtim. So according to Rabbanon, the only way I know that Shatnas is limited to Tzemru Pishtim because the Torah says the words Tzemru Pishtim. If so, Tzemru Pishtim are not superfluous. They're not mufna. So Menalu, so according to Rabbanon, what is the source to say? Eseh Doich Eloisa Seh. And as the Rishonim explain, we have to understand the Gemara's question because there's a number of points. Number one, this concept that in order to say smuchim, we need that the pasuk should be muchach or mufna, is only something Rabbi Yehuda holds. The Rabbanon don't hold that you have to have muchach or mufna. The Rabbanon hold as long as you have smuchim, you can learn smuchim. So why is the Gemara bothered where the Rabbanon learned the smuchim from? The Gemara could have said the Rabbanon don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara could have said the Rabbanon holds smuchim even if it's not mufna. So Rishonim say, one teretz that Tosfos gives is that the Gemara wants that this smuchim should be able to work even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Another teretz that's given is that even the Rabbanon will agree here that it has to be mufna. Because as we said, this is the source for Kol HaTorah Kula that we say, Eseh Doich Eloisa Seh. So it's in a very important smuchim. And here the Rabbanon will hold, even the Rabbanon will hold that in order to learn this smuchim, we have to have it muchach or mufna. But now there's another question. Maybe according to Rabbanon, as we just explained, it's not mufna, but it's still muchach, as we said earlier. This pasuk doesn't belong here. It belongs in Parshas Shelach. So isn't that a proof that we should be able to say smuchim? So there are two terutzim to that question also. One terutz is that the Gemara wants to be able, that even according to the mandam that says mufna, it should work. Or another terutz given by the Rishonim is we learned till now that it's machlaikis. That in order to say smuchim, it either has to be either muchach or mufna. The son Rishonim would say it's not a machlaikis. You have to have both characteristics. You have to have both muchach and mufna. So yes, this pasuk is muchach, but it's not mufna. So how could I learn the smuchim? We're going to know the halacha of Esed Eichelaisa say. Says the Gemara, they will learn it from a different place in the Torah. Nafkul Meroisha. They learn it from the fact that the Torah tells us that if one is a Metzaira, he has to shave his entire head. And we know that shaving one's head with a razor is a Laisa say, Laisa Kifu Pas Roishchem. Still, the Torah tells us to shave the head, even though it involves being over a Laisa say. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Rosh Hamatam Eloimer, what did the Torah single out that the Metzora who has to shave his entire body has to shave his head? Lefishadam, because the Pasuk says, Loi Sakifu Pas Roshchem, you shouldn't shave your head, Shemeni Af Metzora Kain, so perhaps this did, should apply even to a Metzora. Tam Eloimer, Roshchem. That's what the Torah tells us, that the Metzora who has a mitzvah to say to shave his head, Essay doicha leisa say is doicha the lav of leisa kifa pas roishchem. The kusavar haitana, because this tana will hold hakofas kala roishma kofa. There's a machlokes, and we'll discuss it a little more again soon. When the Torah says leisa kifa pas roishchem, does it mean only cutting the payas, which is the area by the bone above the ear to the bone, or does it mean shaving the entire head? This mandama holds that even shaving the entire head is called Yo'ivah Delav. And the Mefarshim ask, what's the basis of Machloikis? If you're not allowed to shave the area just above your ears, certainly you shouldn't be allowed to shave your whole head. What's the Havimin that it should not be the Lav? So I saw a beautiful Teretz. The Chinuch says, why did the Torah tell us there's a Lav Eloi Sakifa Pas Roishchem? Because in those days, the Minik HaKoimrim, the meaning of people who worshipped the Avodah Zarah, was that they took a haircut where the hair above the ear was cut. They didn't shave their entire head. They only shaved that area. So one who shaves the entire head doesn't look like a Oved Avodah Zarah. So perhaps that should be mutter. Says the Gemara, our Tana holds that you are Oved Olav. And still, the Torah says that a Metzora should do it. Why? Because of Esed Doichalaisa say.
Hold on. If you just shave your head...
Because we say Esed Doichalaisa say. Ask the Gemara, Ikele Mafrach, we could ask on this, Ma'al Lav Da Kofa, Shekain Lav She'en Eshav B'Kol. You can't bring a proof that we say Esa Doichalaisa say, because when do we say Esa Doichalaisa say? In this case, because it's a Laisa say that doesn't apply to everyone. Women aren't subject to the Lav of Laisa Kifa Pas Roishchem. But who says that we say Esa Doichalaisa say by a Lav that's even applicable to all of Klai Yisrael? So to understand this Gemara, there are a number of points we have to make. One question the Mefarshim asks is, yes, the Metzora has an obligation to shave his head, and we're saying that that obligation overrides the lav, that mitzvah overrides the lav of Lo Sakifa Pas Roishchem. But I'm the barber, I'm not the Metzora. Why should I have a right to shave his head and participate in the Aveira of Lois Akifa Pas Roishchem? Because as the Gemara says in Masechta Nazir, that if somebody shaves someone else's head with a razor, he's over a lav, even though he wasn't the person that had the haircut. He was the makif, not the nikif. So the Rimaisha says a very big yesod here. The Rimaisha says, from here we see that when is there an Isser of Lois Akifa Pas Roishchem? If I'm not allowed to have such a haircut, so not only if I give myself such a haircut, even if someone else gives me such a haircut, he's over a lav. But in this case, I'm allowed to have such a haircut. So therefore, it's not a problem if someone else gives me the haircut either. There's a number of ways of explaining why. One pshat is because Arvis, I'm supposed to take such a haircut. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. So you have to help me accomplish my mitzvah. Another pshat is that the Torah didn't differentiate. The Torah says, whenever I don't have an Isser, nobody else has an Isser. And with this Imre Moshe's Yusoid, we could answer two other questions. Taisus asks that the Gemara Masechta Nazir says that perhaps the Isser, it's Machlaikus in the Gemara there, that the Isser of giving a haircut that will shave one's entire head with a razor is only when I'm subject to that Isser. But let's say a woman, who we just explained is not subject to that Isser, may give someone else such a haircut. She's not over an Isser. So ask Taisus, why does an Al Gemara give a simple solution? That this haircut given by the Nazir should be given by the woman, or by a child, or by a guy. But according to the Imre Moshe, we don't have to come on to that. Because the Imre Moshe says, if I don't have an Isser, then there's no Isser for anyone else to give me a haircut. That's why the Gemara doesn't suggest that we should look for such a barber. Furthermore, we can use this to answer another question. The Mefarshim ask, why does the Gemara say that we have to do it with a razor which will involve being over the lav of Lo Yisakif HaPas Roshchem? Why don't we have the person do it with powder? Powder isn't the lav, but according to the Imre Moshe, that question isn't the problem. Because when is there a requirement? So some say because powder is not comfortable, the Torah wouldn't tell us to do something that's not comfortable. But according to the Rimosh, it's better. Because there's Bechlal no Isser. So I don't have to look for powder. But now there's one more question to point out that the Achroinim ask. And they ask, we know, even if we say Esse Doicha Loisa Say, that's only if the Esse and the Loisa Say comes simultaneously. So Esse Doicha Loisa Say, we say the Esse, we explained this at length yesterday, is stronger than the Loisa Say. But if it's not the Idne, if it's not at the same time, then we don't say Esse Doicha Loisa Say. Over here, when are you over the laugh? As soon as you start shaving the hair of this Nazir's head, of this Mitzayr's head. When are you Mekayim the Esse? When he's completely shaven. So how do we say Esser Deichalaisa say? It's not the Idnei. So some want to suggest that it's not just, some want to suggest, Aruch Lanes has an interesting teretz, that the person only has one hair on his head. So it happens simultaneously. A little hard teretz. Others want to say that it's not just the last hair that's the mitzvah. Shaving the entire Nazir's head is the mitzvah. And therefore it's Bidnei. But then there's a very interesting Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that even though the halachi is that to say Esse Doicha Loisa say, it has to be Be'idne, it has to be simultaneously, that's only if I could avoid it. But here there's no way of avoiding it. I can't cut the last hair without cutting the previous hairs. There is no requirement to say Be'idne to be able to say Esse Doicha Loisa say. But the Gemara says that this can't serve as a source for Esse Doicha Loisa say. Why? Because this is a very unique lav, because it doesn't apply to everyone. Ella, why don't we learn it from Ziknoi? The Tanya, because the Pasuk says Ziknoi, that the Nazir, that the Mitzayra, I'm sorry, has to shave his entire beard. And again, the halacha is, one may not shave his beard with a razor. And the question is, Matam Eloimer, why does the Pasuk say he should shave his beard? The Fishanemer, because the Pasuk says, Ufas the Konam, Lo Yigalechu, there's an issue to shave one's beard. Shemeini, I would think that even a kohen who's a mitzayra should not be allowed to shave with a razor his beard. Now we have one of the derech that we learn Torah is we now have a second pasuk that teaches us that the chiv, the mitzvah for mitzayra to shave is stronger than the lav. So the first pasuk that we gave in this shir, we said that's unique because it's a lav she'en eshav b'kol. This pasuk is also a lav she'en eshav b'kol. But to teach us that we say Esse Doicha Loisa say by lav she'en eshav b'kol, we already had a source for that. What must this pasuk be coming to teach us? This pasuk must be coming to teach us that we say Esse Doicha Loisa say even by a lav that's shav b'kol. Otherwise, what do I need to say the same lima twice? So it must be that this pasuk is coming to teach us that we always say Esse Doicha Loisa say. So we have a source. The fish that I'm fast the konam lo yikalech shemeni af kai mitzayrkein tamaloy meziknoi v'im ena inyan lav she'enu shav b'kol. If it's not for a lav, that doesn't apply to everyone, because that we already have a source for. So now you're in your lav shishavim b'kol. For every lav that we say esed doich alaisa say, says the Gemara, no, this can't serve as a source to say esed doich alaisa say by every lav. Kavukati itzruch. I need this pasuk to tell me sakadat chaminis shani kohanim. Kohanim are different. Kohanim have a higher level of kedusha. Why? Hoyo v'riba ben kosev mitzvahs yaseiris. The Torah gave a kohen so many extra mitzvahs. So even if I'll say esedai chalaisa say by a lav, that's not shava b'koil. But who says I should say by a kohen? A kohen is a higher level. And I would say that I feel lav she'ena shava b'koil. Loi dachi. Isn't doich alaisa say? Kamashma on the dachi. So I still don't have a proof that I say esed doich alaisa say, because the first pasuk that the Gemara brought today, Roishai, is teaching us by lav she'ena shava b'kol, we say esed doich alaisa say. And the second pasuk is saying is, even if it's esed doich alaisa say, by lav she'ena shava b'kol, who the subject is Kohan. It's interesting to note that so much in these Taisus in Baruch Hashem, but Taisus makes a very interesting point. Taisus says that a lav that applies only to men and not to women, as we learned before, is halachically considered a lav she'ena shava b'kol. But Taisa says, not like the Gemara says here, that a lav that only applies to Kohanim is considered a lav, it's not considered a lav she'ena shava b'kol. And the question is, why not? If it only applies to Kohanim, it doesn't apply to all of us, it should be considered a lav she'ena shava b'kol. So Eglital says a beautiful explanation. He says, a lav that applies to men and not to women, so it doesn't apply to men, it only applies to women. So it's lav she'ena shava b'kol. On the other hand, says the Eglital, even if we're not Kohanim, and the lavim that apply to Kohanim don't apply to us Yisraelim, we have an obligation to learn the halachas that apply to Kohanim, and teach the halachas that apply to Kohanim, and that's why we are not considered not part of those lavim. And that's why it can't be considered lav she'ena shava b'kol. Very b'chiddush. Before we go further, we've learned the Gemara the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara. But there's a very interesting Rashi here. Rashi learns the Gemara that, as we said at the introduction today to our Shia today, there are 2 points that our Gemara is trying to prove, going back to Daf Gimel Amud Beis. One is, do we say Esed Doich Alaisa Say? And that's the way we learned the Shia. Can these psukim be a source that we say Esed Doich Alaisa Say? And the other thing that we still haven't really attempted to work on, and we'll only begin with that in Mitzvah Shem Amud Beis, is how do we know that we say Esed Doich Alaisa Say by a lav that has kares? Rashi says that the point of today's Gemara of these psukim is to teach us that we say esed doich alaisa say even by a lav sheyesh by karis. Asks everybody in Rashi, how could these be a source for a lav sheyesh by karis? Like sekifa pas roishchem is not a lav sheyesh by karis. So how could Rashi explain this Gemara that the Gemara is attempting to prove that we say esed doich alaisa say by a lav sheyesh by karis? Answers the Michas Chinuch a beautiful teretz. Michas Chinuch says, correct. This is a lav that there's no karis. But this is a lav that when you cut the payas, or you shave the beard with a razor, you're over many lavim. For every payah that you cut, you're over a lav. So maybe you don't have the quality, you don't have a chiv karis, but you have many lavim. Says the Michas Chinuch, many lavim that there's no karis to equals one lav that's karis. And that's why Rashi says that if this would be a real source for Esed Doich Alaisa say, not only would it be a source for Esed Doich Alaisa say, a regular Alaisa say, it would even be a legitimate source to say Esed Doich Alaisa say, Shiesh Be Karis. Mechaz Chinuch Subshan and Rashi. Continues the Gemara. El Asi Marosh Dahach Tana. We're going to learn it from this Tana. And the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara is as follows. As we said earlier, the Tana that we quoted at Tapet Amid holds that a kafas kala roish shmoi hakafa. So you're not allowed to shave the entire head. This Tana holds that a kafas kala roish is not considered being over the lav. So then there's no problem with a mitzayrus shaving his head. He's not over a lav. He learns roish matam loimer. What does he learn with the word roishai? Lefisha nemar tala yaval roishai. The pasuk says that a nazir is not allowed to shave his head. Shemei ani, so I would think. Ask mitzayir of a nazir kain, what would be the halacha if a mitzayir is a nazir? Is he allowed to shave his head or not? On one hand, there's an essay that he has to shave his head, because the Mitzvah has to shave his head. On the other hand, there's a life essay that he's not allowed to shave his head. Tamaloima Roshan. So here we see Essa Daicha Laisa say that even though the Nazir is not allowed to shave his head, the essay overrides it and he is allowed to shave his head. So this is the source the Gemara wants to suggest that we should say Essa Daicha Laisa say. Says the Gemara, that can't be a good source, because Ikla Mifrach, Mal Nazir Mitzoyra, Shekein Yeshna B'Sheila. Nazir is a situation that's man made. A person decided to be a Nazir. Nobody has to be a Nazir. And not only is a man made, it's moreover, a person could undo that. He could have his Naziris annulled. Dilei Tema Hachi, if you're not going to say this, there's even a more fundamental question. Hod the Kaimelon, Ein Esa Doicha Loisa Sei Vasei. A Nazir, besides having a Loisa Sei of shaving his head, as the Gemara just said, Talo Yaval Roishoi, there's also an Asei that he has to let his hair grow. The Pasuk says, Kodesh Yeah, God El Pera. So even if we say Esa Daicha Laisa Sei, but as we explained previously, we don't say Esa Daicha Laisa Sei Vasei. So how could a Nazir who's Mitzvah shave his head? He's being over both a Laisa Sei Vasei. Why do we have to say that a Nazir is different? Why is a Nazir different? Sheken Yeshna B'Shaila. Dilei Teima Hachi, Hod the Kaimelon. We have a halacha. Why don't we learn from another the Esa Daicha Laisa Sei Vasei? Why can't we learn from another? Because as we just explained, a Nazir is different, a Nazir is unique, a Nazir could have his Naziris annulled. And that's why we can't learn Esa Daicha Laisa Sei from Nazir. Ask Tosfos, but now the Gemara is teaching us a very important concept. That even though Esed is not Doicha Laisa Sei Vasei, it is Doicha Laisa Sei Vasei by a Nazir, who's a Mitzayra. So why do we extrapolate that anybody who will be similar to a Nazir, we could say Esed Doicha Laisa Sei Vasei? So Tosfos says this is a very unique situation. Because when a person is a Mitzayra, he's not allowed to have relations with his wife. So his Shalom Bayis is in question. Perhaps only the Mitzayra does the Torah allow to say Esa Doicha Laisa Sei Vasei, because there's an Indian of Shalom Bayis. But when there's no Shalom Bayis at stake, we will stick to our rule the Ein Esa Doicha Laisa Sei Vasei. There's also a very interesting Machlokes Rishonim. We'll discuss this more, Mitzashem. When we say Ein Esa Doicha Laisa Sei Vasei, what does that mean? Does that mean that the essay doesn't have the ability to be override both the Laisa Sei Vasei, but it does have the ability to override the Laisa Sei? So if somebody will do this Aveira, he'll only be over an Asei. Or is Pshat that when the Torah says that Ein Esa Doicha Laisa Sei Vasei, the Laisa Sei remains. And if somebody does the Aveira, not only is he over an Asei, he's over an a Laisa Sei. So after learning this Amar Gemara, all of the attempts that the Gemara tried to prove that we say Esa Doicha Laisa Sei from a Mitzayra have failed. So the Gemara goes back, Ela'olam Mikra Kama. We go back to the original Pasuk. The Pasuk that by Tzitzis, that we said that the fact that the Torah puts Tzitzis together with Shatnes is a proof that we can have Tzitzis that are made out of Shatnes, and that's the Doicha Laisa Sei. But we started this year saying that according to Rabbanon, the words Semeru Pishtin are required in that Pasuk. So where's the extra word? Where's the Mufna? Answers the Gemara. The Torah should have used the word tzitzis paslcha gedilim lamali. Why did the Torah use the word gedilim? Shmami no lefnuye, the extra. And as a machlokes to understand what's the extra, the Miri has a very interesting approach. The Miri says the word tzitzis has in it five letters. The word gedilim has in it six letters. The Torah added an extra letter. Why did the Torah add an extra letter? To teach us that's the extra, that's the superfluous, that one extra letter. From here we see how every letter of the Torah is so important. Others say the simpler pshat, the Sukhastavit says pshat is that the normal word used for tzitzis in the Torah is tzitzis. Why did the Torah over here use the word gedilim, which is not the normal word? Must be to teach us something. What's it coming to teach us? As the Daicha Laisa say. Shema minah lefnuye. As the Gemara, gedilim is not dear for that purpose. Hi, the reason the Torah used gedilim is for a different purpose altogether. L'shiura hudasa. It's coming to teach us how the tzitzis should be made. Because as we learned, gedil, if the Torah would have only said the word gedil, you would need shnayim. You would need two threads to make tzitzis. The Torah says gedilim, comes to teach us that arba, that we start the tzitzis, as we all know, with four threads. Asay gedil, and another halacha is learned. Take these threads, these chutei tzitzis, upasleyu metoichai. First make the gnats, and after you make the gnats, then you have the strands, and the halacha is two interesting halachas. One is relevant lemais, and one is not. One is that the threads should be, how do you calculate how much should be strands and how much should be knots? The formula is 2/3 strands, 1/3 knots. There's also interesting machlokes rishonim when they had tchelis, how many strands were colored with the tchelis. There's a three-way machlokes rishonim. Rashi says two whole threads were colored tchelis and two were white. The Ravid learns one was tchelis and the other three were white, and the Rambam learns that a half a thread was tchelis and the other 3.5 were white. So we need this pasuk to teach us how to make the tzitzis. So this pasuk can't be saying that I have this pasuk, this word gedilim, to teach me as the daichalaisa say. I need it to teach me all these halachas about how to make the tzitzis. Says the Gemara, imkein lemakra, the pasuk could have just said leisilba shatnis Semru Pishtin. Yachtov Lomeli. The word Yachtov is extra. Shmamino Lafnuye, that it's extra to tell us that we should learn Smuchim and teach us Esa Doichalaisa say. Ask the Gemara, that Yachtov is not superfluous. Vakatimi Boile, we need that Yachtov to teach us the Toikiv Shtei Tkifais Chibur, that if one makes two stitches of wool and linen, that's Shatness. The tekifa achas, but if he only makes one stitch, ain't a chibur. So that's not extra. I need to teach us that din from Yachtov. Answers the Gemara, you're right. We need the word Yachtov. That's not the extra word. What is the extra word? Imkein lichter rachmana loy silvash semru pishtim. Yachtov. Shatnes lamali. The word shatnes is the extra word. Shmamino lefnuye. It's extra to teach us as a doichalaisa say. Ask the Gemara. The word shatness is not extra. Akatmi boile, I needed to teach us actually shui tovivinois. That the halach is, and here we have a very, very fundamental machlokes, according to Rashi and the Rivon that Tosfos quotes, one is not chayiv midoraisa for shatness until he takes the two materials, combs them, waves them, and shui means to comb, to smooth a comb, the other one means to weave, the tavi means to weave, and noise means to embroider, like to put it all together. Only then are you chayiv shatness, otherwise you're not. So that's what I need the word shatness. So Tosfos asks on Rashi two very fundamental questions. According to Rashi, you don't have shatness until you did shuah tavi v'noise. So there's two questions. First of all, the previous Gemara said that as soon as you do two stitches you have shatness. So we have a tremendous contradiction in the Gemara. The Gemara a moment ago said, if you take wool and linen and stitch it two stitches together, you chayiv shatness. And here it says you need shuah tavi v'nois. Moreover, what's our whole sugya that we're already learning for two shiurim? That by tzitzis, when you tie the tzitzis, if you tie wool and tzitzis on a linen beged, on a linen garment, you chayiv for shatness. But when you tie tzitzis to a garment, you're not doing shuah tavi v'nois. So what's the consideration of shatness, according to Rashi? That's why Tosfos has an entirely different approach. Rabbeinu Tam has an entirely different approach to shuah tavi v'nois. Rabbeinu Tam says shuah tavi v'nois doesn't mean how you connect the wool and linen. Shuah tavi v'nois speaks to the piece of wool that you have. And it speaks to the piece of linen that you have. In order for a piece of wool to be considered a piece of wool, that it should be subject to hilcha shatness, it has to be shuah tavi v'nois. In order for a piece of linen to be considered linen, that it should be subject to hilchos shatness, it has to be shuah tavi v'nois. But how you connect them, as long as you make two stitches, or you tie them together, you knot them together, that's already shatness. How are you going to explain Rashi? So there's a beautiful re'ein that explains Rashi. Rashi says like this. He explains Rashi's position, the Rivon's position, this way. When you have a piece of material, you look at a suit, a piece of material, and this piece of material is made out of wool and linen. When you look, when the regular person, the regular naked eye, looks at this piece of material, could he tell that it's shatness? We have no... When you look at the suit that I'm wearing, you have no way of knowing what it's made out of. So that's where the Torah tells us that in order that it be considered shatness, it has to be shur tov v'nois. It has that type of a strong connection, then it's considered shatness. However, if you have two pieces of material, where one is obviously wool, and one is obviously linen, like the case of the tzitzis, where you have a beged that's made out of pure linen, so it's very obvious that it's linen, and you have the tzitzis that are made out of wool, that are very obvious wool, there Rashi says that the Torah never said you need shur tov v'nois. Just connecting them with two stitches, or tying them together, will be considered shatness. That's how the Re'eim explains Rashi to defend him from Tosfos's question. But getting back to our figure, the word shatness is certainly not superfluous. It needs to teach us this thing of shur tov v'nois. So we're back to where we started. Where is the mufna in this pasuk that we could teach us the halacha of esed eichelaisa say? Says the Gemara, el kula mishatness nafka. So the way Rashi and Tosfos explain the Gemara is as follows. Normally the word used in the Torah for mixing two different mixtures is klayim. Here the Torah didn't use the word klayim. Here the Torah used the word shatness. So as we just explained, there's a reason why the Torah used the word shatness. To teach us the halacha shur tov v'nois. But if the Torah wanted to teach us the halacha shur tov v'nois, it should have said shur tov v'nois. Why did the Torah use the word shatness instead of spelling out the words shur tov v'nois? It must be to teach us two halachas. Number one, that in order to be considered shatness, it has to be shur tov v'nois. And number two, that it's extra to teach us esed eichelaisa say. The only problem with this approach is that it flies in the face of a very simple concept that we've discussed many times. The Torah always wants to be makatzer. The Torah always wants to use less words. So we're saying that the reason the Torah used the word shatness is to teach us both shu, tav, and noise, and esed eichelaisa say. Why don't we say the Torah used the word shatness? Because it wanted to use one word instead of three words. That's the question that the Rishonim ask on Tosfos. Before we go further, Tosfos asks another question. So now the Gemara proves, let's just read these words. Ashkechon, da'asi esed eichelaisa say greater. From here we have a source. Now, coming back to where we started on Daf Talad Amud Aleph, what is the source for Esed Eichelaisa say according to everyone? The reason that is because we're a lot of weird tzitzis that are shatness. As Tosfos, we have another source. The source is that the Kohen wore tzitzis, wore begodim, the Avneitor, we learned the Sugyas Masechta Yuma, that were shatness. So why can't we use that as the source? Tosfos says, because you can't bring a proof from there. Because even though it does work somewhat with Esed Eichelaisa say, that's the beged the Torah wants the kohen to wear. In other words, by tzitzis, I don't necessarily have to wear tzitzis that are shatness. So if the Torah allows us to wear tzitzis that are shatness, it must be because Esed Eichelaisa say. On the other hand, by the Big Day Kahuna, the Torah prescribed how the Big Day Kahuna should look. And the Torah said it should be shatness. And with that we can explain arriving. Yesterday we quoted that even though, as the Gemara just proved, and again we said in the previous year, it's not Negel Aloch L'maisa, because we don't have Tcheles, so we have no right to wear Tzitzis that are shatness. What's going to be Aloch when there was Tcheles? And I have Tzitzis that are shatness. Am I allowed to wear Tzitzis at night? When it's Laila loves Mat Tzitzis? When it's not the time to wear Tzitzis? So Rabbi says, no. Only when you're Mechuyv to wear Tzitzis do you have the Hek of Esed Eichelaisa say. When you have no reason to wear tzitzis, you don't have to have the Esed Eichelaisa say. But it's interesting to note that the very same Ravid says that a Kohen was always allowed to wear the Big Day Kahuna, not only when he was doing the Avodah. It's shatness, but according to the way we just explained, it's beautiful. By the Big Day Kahuna, it's not a thing that it's shatness and the Torah gave us a Heter. It's the Big Day Kahuna. That's what the Torah wants us to wear. On the other hand, here, it's shatness. But the Torah says, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Tzitzis, I'll let you wear shatness. But if you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah Tzitzis, I won't let you wear shatness. So the Ravid is beautiful. But as we said at the beginning of the shir, there were two points that the Gemara at the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis tried to prove. One was, how do we learn Eser Doicha Loisasei? So that we just proved. And the next point is, do we say Eser Doicha Loisasei even by Loisasei Shiesh by Koros? So the Gemara says, Ashkechon Dosei Eser Doicha Loisasei Greida. That Eser is Doicha Loisasei we proved. How do we see Sesei Shiesh by Koros Heiche Ashkechon Dodochi? Where do we say that we say Eser Doicha Loisasei even under such circumstances? Did the Itzrich, the Aleh Lemisra, that tells us that even though we say Eser Doicha Loisasei by Loisasei Shiesh by Koros, we won't say it by a Yevamah who's an Erva? And that's why we need the word Aleh to teach us that. V'chi Tema, so you learn, Nelef Mila. The halach is that a bris mila should be made on Shabbos. So isn't that a proof that essay of mila is doiched the loisasei of chil Shabbos? Says the Gemara, you can't bring a proof for mila because mala mila she came nicholas olas shloisha sabrisis. Mila is a very significant mitzvah. The Torah mentions mila 13 times that there's a bris. So mila is doiched loisasei that even a loisasei she has bekaris, but that can't be proof that. For everywhere else, so says the Gemara in Pesach. The halacha is that the Korban Pesach is brought on Shabbos, even though it involves Chil Shabbos. You're shechting the animal, you're doing all that avodah. Says the Gemara, you can't bring a proof from Pesach. Ma'ala Pesach, Shekein Koris. Korban Pesach, it has Koris. If one doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, he's Chayef Koris. Ask the Rishonim, why didn't the Gemara say the same teretz by Mila? By Mila, the Gemara should have said, Ma'ala Mila, that if somebody doesn't have a Mila, he's Chayef Koris. So the Rishonim answer, that the Rambam says, let's say a child, the father didn't make him a Mila. Is he Chayef Koris right away? It's a child. The Rambam says, that one is not Chayef Koris for not having a bris Mila until he dies without a bris. So you can't say he's Chayef Koris. By Pesach, if today's Erev Pesach, and he didn't bring, somebody didn't Chas V'Shalom bring the Korban Pesach, he's Chayef Koris. So that's what the Gemara says, Karis. By Mila, it's not Chayef Karis until he passed his life without having the Bris Mila. Mitamit, we could bring a proof from the Karma Tamit. The Karma Tamit was brought every day, even on Shabbos, even though it involves Eloisa says Shiesh Bekaris, Chil Shabbos. Mala Tamit, so the Gemara can't bring a proof from Tamit, Shekain Todr. Tamit is something that's a mitzvah that's brought done every day. And that's why it's a strong mitzvah saseh, and it's a doicha loisasei shiesh bekaris. But how do we know that a mitzvah saseh that isn't todir is doicha loisasei? Ask Tosfos, fine. The Korban Tamid was brought on Shabbos, and that's todir. Because as we know, the Korban Tamid was brought every day. The Korban Tamid was brought every day. But on Shabbos, different kabbonis were also brought. And those kabbonis were not todir. Korban Musaf is only brought on Shabbos. Says Taisus, those kabbonis are also considered tadir. Why are they considered tadir? Because they brought every Shabbos. Yibum is not something that happens every day. It happens when it happens. But Musaf is steady every Shabbos or every Yontif. We have to bring the kabbonis. They're considered tadir. So now the Gemara says, we know that when we have a number of places we can learn a halacha from, if each source is an unacceptable source, perhaps we try to combine two of the sources and find the common denominator that we should be able to learn it. Says the Gemara, Michad alay Asya, from each of these sources, Mila, Pesach, Tamid, we cannot learn the Eser Doicha Loisasei Shiesh Bekaris. But let's taste Matati. Maybe we should combine two of these sources and then it should yes be an acceptable source. Says the Gemara, how do you want to combine? Mehei Taisi, why do you want to combine? Memeila Pesach, do you want to say Mila and Pesach? Just like we see that they're Doicha Shabbos, Shiesh Bekaris. So too, every Eser should be Doicha Leisasei Shiesh Bekaris. No, Mila and Pesach, both are mitzvahs that say Shekein Karis. Both are mitzvahs that say that have a component that you chayef Karis for, as we explained earlier. On the other hand, Shabbos, Yibum, there's no Karis if somebody doesn't do Yibum. What do you want to combine? Pesach and Tamid? It's also not an acceptable combination. Shekein Tzarech Gevoya. A Korban Pesach is a carbon. A Tamid is a carbon. Yibum is not carbon. Mila v'Tamid? Do you want to combine Mila and Tamid? And say, just like Mila and Tamid, a Doicha, a Loisasei Shiesh Bekaris, Shabbos. So to every essay should be Doicha, Loisasei Shiesh Bekaris. Mila and Tamid have something unique. a gemara that we learned in Masechta Chagiga and Davov. She can yeshloi lefnei dibur. Both the carbon, both the bris milah and carbon tamid were already in effect in Klal Yisrael before Hasina, even before we got the Torah. Because I leave the Mandamar, it goes according to the Mandamar that we learned in Masechta Chagiga, that oila shekrivi Yisrael b'midbar, oila tamid hava. Ask the Mefarshim, Yibum was also in the Torah before Kabbalah Satira. We have by Yehuda, Yibum. So I saw two truths. One Torah says that when the Shvatim were Mekayim the Torah, they were Mekayim the Torah because it was the Torah. They were Mekayim it because that's what they knew was the right thing to do. But it wasn't because there was a mitzvah to do it. Mil and Tamid were mitzvahs that we received before Har Sinai. Another pshat that I saw is that you can't call what Yehuda did Yibum. Because who was Yehuda to Tamar? Yehuda is a father-in-law. As we will learn in Masechta Yevamos, hopefully that much we already know, there is no din of Yibum with a father-in-law. So obviously what Yehuda did is not really considered Yibum, then we should say there was an effect with Fnei HaDibur. Umekola Nami, so not a Gemara attempts something else. We can't learn with a combination of any of these two of the three concepts, a Pesach, Tamar, and Mila. But perhaps we should combine all of them. Mekula Nami, let's talk about Tamid, Mila, and Pesach, and let's look for the common denominator that all of them are essay that a Doicha Loisa says Shesh Bekaris, says the Gemara, Sheken Yesh Lofnei Dibur. All three of these mitzvahs are mitzvahs that were there by Klaius or before the Dibur. However, Mila, however, Yibum wasn't there Lofnei Dibur, so we can't bring a proof from them to Yibum. So there's an interesting Shaila the Shagas Arya asks. Here we're saying that the fact that a mitzvah saseh was here before Har Sinai makes it a stronger mitzvah saseh. The Shagas Arya says that the pasuk says in Yeshua that when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, it was Pesach time, but they didn't have all the tefillah that they had, they didn't have, was chadash, so they couldn't make matzahs. Ask the Gemara that the essay of eating matzahs should be doicha the loisa say of eating chadash. So the Gemara says the essay of eating matzahs is an essay sheyesh lefnei hadibur, and it's a weak essay. Ask the Shagas Arye, our Gemara is saying that an essay lefnei hadibur is a stronger essay, and then the Gemara is saying that an essay lefnei hadibur is a weaker essay. So I saw two truths. The Shagas Arye answers that when is an essay lefnei hadibur considered a strong essay? When it's repeated again after Har Sinai. All these three things, Mila, Tamid, and Pesach, were repeated after Har Sinai. So it gives it a strength. Masha Enkein, Pesach, was not repeated after Har Sinai, even though we only find it regarding Pesach Sheni, not regarding Pesach Rishon. So it's not considered a strong essay. Another Tarot study gives is that an essay that's Lefnei HaDibur is Doicha Lois to say Lefnei HaDibur, because both Pesach, Mila, and Tamid were given before Har Sinai, as was Shabbos. However, Pesach, to say an essay Lefnei HaDibur of Matzah should be Doicha Lois to say that was only given after Har Sinai of Chadosh, then we don't say Essay Doicha Lois to say. And our Gemara can help us understand a Rambam. The Pasuk says that if one has an Eved Kenani, and that Eved Kenani, that Omer Kenanis, has a child, a boy, he has to make a bris milah. Now there are two situations how one can have, and the Pasuk speaks about both of them, how a person can have an Omer Kenanis. One is that the Omer Kenanis went to the mikveh, and has the din quasi like a Jew, and the other is called Yilid Bayis, that the Omer Kenanis never went to the mikveh, she has no din of a Jew. Says the Rambam that even though we have to make a bris milah by both of the type of children, whether the mother is an Omer Kenanis or Yilid Bayis, the halacha of Shabbos is only going to be that such a bris, if it's on the eighth day of Shabbos, is only by if the mother is a Jew, not if she's a Yilid Bayis. The Rambam doesn't make the difference, and everybody tries to understand the Rambam. Why does he make the difference between what type of mother this child has? Says a beautiful pshat. He says, what does Al Gemara explain is the strength of a mila? The strength of a mila is because it's chayif karis. So if the mother is a Jew and the child is a Jew, and if he won't make the meal, it could be chayiv karis. That's why that meal you're allowed to do on Shabbos. But if the mother's not a Jew, it's only a yilid bias, so the child's not a Jew. If the mother's not a Jew, the child's not a Jew. So you won't be chayiv karis. A meal where there's no chayiv karis is not doicha Shabbos.